The Youth Voice series is brought to you by Radio Kerry and funded by Commissioned Man with a television licence fee.
It's estimated that 1 in 10 young adults identify as neurodivergent, with around 4% officially diagnosed. The term neurodivergent describes people whose brain differences affect how their brain works. That means they have different strengths and challenges from people whose brains don't have those differences. The possible differences include medical disorders, learning disabilities, and other conditions. In this episode of the Youth Voice series, we will be speaking to some young neurodivergent people and exploring some of the resources available to them in Kerry. Autism, or autism spectrum disorder, is a neurological and developmental disorder that affects how people interact with others, communicate, learn, and behave. Historically, diagnoses in boys outnumbered that in girls at a ratio of 5-1. However, in recent years, there has been an increase in autism diagnoses among girls, which is attributed to a greater societal understanding of how autism presents differently in females, improved diagnostic tools, and more girls being referred for evaluation. Here's Charlie's experience of her autism diagnosis.
My name's Charlie Harris. I'm 20 years old. My birthday is actually April Fool's Day, and my preferred pronouns are she, her. I suppose I'm quite a confident person, but I do have ASD, but I suppose I'm more high functioning than what other people may be. I like to be described as confident, but still kind of with the ASD side of it as well, because that is a big part of who I am. I was very shy when I was growing up, like hiding behind my parents, which is a normal thing, but I was doing it till the age of like 16. So like, I was very nervous in that sort of thing, like with strangers and stuff, which is sometimes a good thing, but it was just out of control. Like I suffered a lot in school because I was just nervous around what mainly people thought of me, because I knew I was different, but I didn't know what it was. And but then it would come to like things that I was like hyper fixated on, which would be like stage school or something like that, where I would just outshine more than what I would in other places, really. Basically, what brought me to be diagnosed is that I was struggling for a long time with mental health. I had like a big gap of my teenage years where I was severely depressed, and there was a lot of anxiety there. So I mainly went for that first, because I also have OCD. So it was a lot of intrusive thoughts and stuff like that. What happened is they found out through a lot of my behaviours and through a lot of how I was talking in therapy, they were like, oh, maybe we should see if there's something else here. I'm kind of like the alphabet at the moment with diagnosis. But I found out like quite late in life. I was 18 when I found out that I have ASD. And I grew up with three older sisters, so there was a lot of meltdowns happening in the house, really. But mine were always, I just saw the world as like black or white. So if something went wrong, it was, when I say the end of the world, I mean it was like the end of the world, like it was the end of time. Now I just sit back and try to relax. I do have a meltdown here and there, but sure, it's inevitable, really. But it has helped me, and it has helped other people around me as well, because before you're probably thinking, oh, there she goes again, she's like a loose cannon, that one, or something. But once you know and once they know, you can navigate your way through the meltdowns a lot better. I would just kind of say that it doesn't change who you are. It's just a part of you, really. Like, it's not something that you are, like it's not something that affects you, really. But it's just a part of you, and I would just say that like you get to meet a person, just like as always. I don't know, it's just something that for me I just had to get on with and just accept it for myself. And it was the same with the depression, it was the same with the anxiety, same with the OCD. You just get on with life, really, and it sounds a bit harsh, but like, unfortunately, that's just what you have to do with it. Not everyone is the same. There's no such thing as normal in what I think anyway. So there isn't a normal. Nobody's normal. So don't be afraid that you're not normal, because it's just not a thing.
Studio 3 Kerry, based in Tralee, is a specialised organisation that provides a range of services, including clinical assessments, therapy, counselling, behavioural supports, as well as training for individuals, families and professionals supporting people with complex needs, which can include autism or intellectual disabilities. They use a unique low arousal approach to reduce stress and distress, promoting a positive psychology-based method that focuses on the behaviour of supporters. Let's hear a little more about their services.
I'm Dylan Hallett. I'm a behaviour support consultant. Yeah, so Studio 3 Kerry is a branch of the Studio 3 group, which was created in the 90s. I suppose what makes us unique from the rest in the group is we, as well as provide training and assessments and stuff, which would be the kind of bread and butter of the wider group, particularly the core in the UK, is we also provide services to people here in Kerry. We would specialise in autism and intellectual disabilities. So the services we have at the moment are, they would be from day services, which is essentially activity facilitation and coordination for people who go out during the weekdays and do the things that they enjoy. And then we have other kind of wraparound 24/7 services, where we support independent living as well as activities and all other kind of facets of life as well. We would really encourage autonomy and person-centeredness as well. I suppose our niche here in Studio 3 is that, we provide training in our low arousal ethos and stress reduction models and things like that. But what really kind of helps us is the fact that we also provide services. They kind of inform each other. So the training and the services, what we learn from either side will help to grow the other and develop the other. So what we really believe in is the right environment and allowing the person we're supporting to have choice and autonomy and meaningful input into their life and service. We would really encourage autonomy and person-centeredness as well. I suppose our niche here in Studio 3 is that, we provide training in our low arousal ethos and stress reduction models and things like that. But what really kind of helps us is the fact that we also provide services. They kind of inform each other. So the training and the services, what we learn from either side will help to grow the other and develop the other. So what we really believe in is the right environment and allowing the person we're supporting to have choice and autonomy and meaningful input into their life and service. We find that also helps with our stress reduction models in that preemptively kind of reduces stress and distress. So we're not a service that waits for a crisis and then reacts with force. We don't practice any restraints. We really try and encourage empathy over that. It's about getting the foundation right, I suppose, and trying to understand the person we're supporting as that, a person, not a diagnosis, not a label or a statistic. So we try and understand what their preferences are, what their likes, their passions are, as well as the things that they find challenging or things that they would typically avoid or stuff that would distress them. But equally as important, which is something I think is missed on a broader scale, is the positives, like what really is part of their personality, what is it they enjoy doing, instead of focusing too much on the negative or the challenges. We try and encourage our staff to be as organic as possible so that they can promote a natural, organic relationship with the person, that they can, we understand that relationships are two-way streets in that it's a give and a take, isn't it? We need to focus on the person's interests, but also bring our own to the table as well, so that we might expand the horizon of interests and activities that might be available to the person we're supporting. And the best way we find that works is by bringing your passions, because I think people are quite neurodivergent or otherwise are quite, it's quite easy to tell whether you're interested in this thing or was it just something that's tick box on a kind of a template planner for the week, So where possible, we try and introduce things that we're genuinely excited about, and people will then respond to that accordingly as well, Is there anything I wish people knew? I suppose to walk away from certain, what's the word for them? Stereotypes, the kind of cliches of it, there is certain kind of damaging things. So if our area of expertise would be autism mainly, and there are quite a few that are attached to that diagnosis. Even with the best intent in the world, you know, you have to, if you're speaking to people just out in the street, and I encounter it a lot, and people ask what I do, and you know, people are genuinely curious and open minded to my line of work, but you do hear certain things that mightn't be so helpful to the community. Autism seems to kind of disappear after 18 years old, that it's something that somehow only affects kids or teenagers, which we know obviously isn't true. Certain things as well, like, I mean, the lack of empathy, the inability to have empathy. There's plenty of people who are neurodivergent who have a great amount of empathy, or that's a variant dependent on personality, not diagnosis, just kind of things like that we're predominantly the people that we support here, or people that you might know in your community who are neurodivergent, they are not a set of symptoms or conditions. They are a person with their own challenges, experiences, preferences, ideologies, you name it, and just to be treated as such, you know.
The Youth Voice series is brought to you by Radio Kerry and funded by Commissioned Man with a television licence fee.
Based in Tralee, Inspired is a not-for-profit organisation that supports adults with intellectual disabilities by providing training, development and employment programmes, focusing on community inclusion and participant-led activities. We met with some of their service users who called in for a chat along with staff member Tara.
My name is Tara and I am a job coach at Inspired. Inspired is a day service in Tralee for young adults who have mild to low moderate intellectual disabilities and who have completed post-primary or secondary school. So Inspired's, I suppose, mission and values, they are completely person-centred and they tailor their service to an individual interests, needs and goals, establishing meaningful participation in the community for participants, as well as promoting independence, dignity and inclusion. They also aim to promote active citizenship through community participation, advocacy and the participants understanding their rights and responsibilities through supported employment and through training and development. So through different skills, arts, sports, recreation and community programmes. And my role down in Inspired as a job coach would be to support the participants with their career aspirations. So within that then we'd work off the supported employment model, which is a person-centred approach that aims to help people with disabilities to overcome barriers that they might face when trying to reach employment, and in particular paid employment. So you'd go through a bit of a five-stage process of trying to get engagement from the individual and understanding what goals and their own aspirations within their career. And then vocational profiling, so finding out their strengths, their skills, their interests and what supports they might need. Then job finding as well, matching a suitable person to a suitable employer. And then we'd go on to employer engagement, so supporting employers and creative, inclusive workplaces, which would be the support that we'd give to the participants would be as equal as what we're given to an employer as well. And on the job support then as well, so that would be the job coaching, mentoring them on the job, helping them build the skills that they need for this particular job.
My name is Lauren and I'm 25 years old and I work in Pennies in Tralee. When I completed my New Directions course, I then started attending Inspired Day Service in Tralee and I've been attending Inspired since. I love singing and dancing. Last year I performed on stage, played the leading role of Cinderella. I really enjoyed performing on stage in front of an audience. I also love to go for walks while listening to music on my headphones. I work at Pennies Tralee 3 days a week. I love working in Pennies. In Pennies, I sort through all the returns and ensure that items are put back in their correct place. I assist customers with any queries that they may have. Inspired is a day service in Tralee and Inspired supports me with my skills, personal development. We do lots of activities. Inspired are some of my favourite: swimming, drama, cooking and baking. We also do fundraising. We are currently preparing to do a drama show for next year. I commenced doing work experience through Inspired. I've since gained paid employment with Pennies. Last year I moved into my own house. Inspired are supporting me with the skills I need to live independently.
Miss Nidia Murphy, 22. I am living on the Kerry border. I love the kingdom and I enjoy playing sports. I attend a day service called Inspired 2 days a week, where we have a choice of over 35 activities that we can choose from Monday to Friday. We are very busy in Inspired. I also attend college in Tralee 3 days a week. and I work once a week in a cafe called Flower Power in Chile. I enjoy working there and look forward to it every week. I also like to socialise with friends at weekend. I like to go to the gym. I like going on holidays. And I went to Portugal with all my friends and the staff. I'm inspired. I enjoy the crack. I would like to give a shout out to the Kerry Rose Centre for having me this year for the Rose of Chile. It was an honour and privilege standing with all the beautiful roses. Inspired helped me online to apply for the Kerry Rose. My disability does not stop me or hold me back doing anything. Inspired is a wonderful day service. It has been amazing. I'm so grateful for all the staff who are lovely to me. I have gained new friends. I feel safe and supportive. This has been one of the best experiences of my life. Gained new experiences like being a rose, going on holidays and getting employment.
As a neurodivergent person myself, I am very grateful to have worked with everybody at Radio Kerry on many episodes of the Youth Voice series and for giving me the platform to tell my story. My name is Nell Moore-Ryan, I'm 25 and I have a diagnosis of autism. So growing up, I would say I was a very, very anxious child. I was a very exhausted child. I probably dealt with autistic burnout quite a lot and not knowing that I had autism because I was late diagnosed. It was very difficult to understand why I was finding things so hard and for any of the adults around me to know what was going on and what to do about it. So yeah, anxious, exhausted, very, very confused. I was like your typical like quiet, shy little girl. I was very studious. I was very academic. So I think a lot of teachers didn't really worry because they were like, oh, she's doing fine. You know, she's doing well in her grades and like kind of not seeing below the surface to see how much I was really, really struggling. So yeah, that's how I described myself growing up. So my journey to my diagnosis was very long. I was diagnosed just after turning 22, which compared to some women is quite early. Like I've heard of women who've been diagnosed in their 80s with having autism, and I've personally felt forced to go private because I had brought up issues that I was having with multiple people across the board, through CAMHS, the Adult Mental Health Service, my GP, and it really was just not recognised and it was not considered a problem despite how much it was affecting me in my day-to-day life. And eventually I had done a course during COVID and, you know, everything moved online and it was a lot easier because looking back, it was like, not to diminish how traumatic COVID and how dangerous COVID was, but for me, when I look back, I think the routine and the regimented rules that everybody was following made day-to-day interactions a lot easier for me. And even the fact that I only had to register half a person's face and people had to stay away from me and couldn't touch me and I only had to mask half my face really made a difference. And as we were coming out of COVID, I think I had almost forgot how overstimulating I could find the outside world, and I basically had debilitating autistic burnout and I just had to go, I can't deal with this anymore. I need answers. I've been looking for answers for over 10 years. I had been familiar with autism from a young age because a male relative of mine who was the same age got diagnosed with what at the time would be considered Asperger's. Asperger's is not an acceptable term anymore. And so I knew about autism and I was just flat out told girls don't have autism, which we now know is not true. So that would be my journey to diagnosis. For me, having my diagnosis was a relief, and getting my diagnosis was a relief because it just confirmed what I had known about myself for years. And as amazing as that was, the sad secondhand part of that is kind of when you finally get your diagnosis. For me, I thought it would open a lot of doors for me, and it did. It offered a lot of supports that unfortunately you need the piece of paper to access, which is unfortunate because the ability to access a diagnosis is a huge privilege. Like a lot of autistic people who are not cis white males have had to go privately, and that's just not feasible for a lot of people. And then on top of that, in the years since my diagnosis facing blatant ableism in areas and in from people I least expected it. And ultimately, finding out the root cause of a lot of that is something completely external, like it's sexism or it's misogyny or it's racism or it's whatever. And kind of realizing a thing, I'm a disability and a mental health advocate, and a huge thing I try to educate myself on and speak about is intersectionality, because we don't live in a fair world where everybody can be autistic safely and where people are willing to accept autism from a varying range of people. So my diagnosis came with a massive relief, but it also came with a massive wake-up call of everything doesn't get better with the diagnosis, because just because you have that piece of paper doesn't change the attitudes that people have had towards you and towards other people for centuries, honestly, at this stage. So that's, I don't know if that's an appropriate answer to the question, but that's honestly, in the years since my diagnosis, how I feel about it. Now, every autistic person is an expert at autism, but they are an expert in their lived experience. And finding, not every autistic content creator or group or whatever will be for you, but finding the one that is and learning from each other is a huge, huge resource, really. Look to see if there are any local services in your area. I know in the Kerry area, we have Aspect. They're quite a good service. You can find like support groups or online communities. As I said, Neuro Pride Ireland, there really is a lot out there. You might just have to look to see what's right for you.
The Youth Voice series is brought to you by Radio Kerry and funded by Commissioned Man with a television licence fee.